When Vicky Bozeman's husband died, she needed some help.
I was very fortunate that my children took turns. They moved in with me for about 2 months. And my kids would come in and say, well, Mom, what's on the schedule today? You know, that was their way of saying, we need to get up and about and get on with life. And that was very helpful to me. And then there came the time when I was saying to them, it's time for you to go home. You know, it's time for you to get back to normal with your families. And God and I are going to be able to walk through this thing. He's going to take me through it.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, July 27th. Last week, we began listening to an interview Nancy recorded in 2006 with two widows, Vicky Bozeman and Kathy Ferguson. They were very hopeful about God's provision, but very honest about their pain. Let's get back to that conversation.
I'm thinking of that verse in Isaiah 45, verse 3, I will give you the treasures of darkness, God says.
Yeah.
So that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. The treasures of darkness. You don't think of darkness as being the place where you want to be or are eager to be. That's the picture of the aloneness.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he says, in that place, God calls you by name. There's a presence there that makes that darkness a place where you find treasure. And it is the treasure is Christ.
You know, I grew up in the church culture, and I some of what I had to begin to do is kind of add some more complete meaning to some Bible words. And those are some of those treasures, like the word grace. When it talks about grace being God giving us the strength to do something we cannot do ourselves. So a lot of these really Bible language I knew began to be some of those treasures I found, that God was going to give me the ability to do something I could not do, and that would be a widow with three children. Even faith took on some new meaning to me, that, you know, it wasn't just trusting God to do the impossible. It was really a trusting God when he doesn't make sense. And it just added more completion to words I already was aware of, and hope. My husband had a broadcast ministry, and the title of it was Hope for Today. And really, my present was so good, I didn't think much about hope. But that also became a great word that meant a lot to me in that dark place about hope. And I see people now, evangelism takes on a new meaning because people don't have hope. And so a lot of treasures in the dark places.
Loneliness, for sure, is my number one dark place.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in and out of it. And it's interesting, because of the job that my husband had, he touched a whole lot of lives, and people around our state have sought to honor his memory. And so I've been invited numerous times to go and receive plaques for him, to be there when they planted a tree in his honor, to be there when they named a fitness center after him, to be there when they put his name on the College of Public Health. And these are all wonderful tributes to this man, but they're actually a glory to our Lord, mm-hmm. because what they're actually doing is honoring the Jesus that they saw mm-hmm. in Faye Bozeman. But what it does to Vicky is remind her of her loneliness.
That Faye's not here.
Again, yes. Because the only reason I'm there is because he's not here. I'm still in and out a whole lot of loneliness. I'll get one of these calls. I mean, I went just last month to two different things. And again, it's been a year, which is pretty amazing. And I get excited by the fact that someone else remembers my husband and his life, and that's very heart-touching. But then at the same time, all of a sudden, I get emotional because of the loneliness. But, you know, God in his faithfulness, when you're in the depths of what I call depths of despair, I've found that I can truly call out. And, I mean, he's right there. And just as my tears start immediately, when I call out, they will shut off immediately. If I can within myself get my head on straight to remember, just call on Jesus. Don't allow yourself to waller down here, you know, in this pit. Just call out. And when I do, he removes that for me immediately.
So what's the balance between being able to appropriately experience the loss, shed the tears, feel the grief, and what you called wallowing in it? Should, you know, we've got some widows listening, some people who have experienced unexpected loss or deep disappointment. Would we say to them that if you call out to Jesus, he just shuts down your tears and you don't feel the pain anymore? I know that's not what you're saying.
No.
So how do you in your own
and
heart?
And he's shutting off the tears because, at least I believe, that's what I've asked him to do. Because I'm trying to move on from that emotional state. And there's nothing wrong with emotions. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But I can tell within myself when I'm pulling myself lower
into a pit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I should be going. Mm-hmm. Because you can grieve without doing that. And early on, you probably can't. But I've come enough along that I can grieve without becoming so despondent. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the balance. You know, it's all right to grieve.
That's right.
You just don't want to get to where you're saying, what am I doing here?
Were there times when you felt like you couldn't call out, you couldn't pull yourself up, you were sliding into that despondency, that pit, and felt helpless to do anything about it?
It's not that, for me at least, it's not that I couldn't, it's that I wouldn't. I could. But I didn't. And I had to learn. I had to learn. And that's a training process that God has just begun to take me through, that there's so much more to this Christian life, so many places you can tap into this pipeline that God has for you that you've missed, Vicki. I'm just beginning to learn about those things. And it's kind of like a child who's beginning to walk. You know, they take a step and then they fall down, and they take a step and they fall down. Then maybe they take two or three and then they fall down. And so I'm kind of at the two or three stage. My heart is to get to where I'm walking, and then I'm running with the Lord, so that just at the instant that that happens, I'm calling out to Jesus.
Vicki, I really like your illustration of the walking and the taking more steps, because I really think that's a good picture of grief, and that you do, it's an incremental kind of thing, and he does continually. I think for me, Nancy, one of the things that brought the greatest comfort is just knowing, and someone helped me very early on to take peace and just God's presence in my life. And even though I didn't understand, but knowing our accident was very traumatic, and there were a lot of things that we saw and experienced. And someone in this meeting, at this mile marker, that visualization was a tough thing for our whole family. And part of getting through that was someone, a very godly person in our life who does a lot of trauma counseling, said, you need to visualize Christ being with you there.
At that place.
At that place, at that mile marker, at that scene, with my children, with all that happened there. And that was a little difficult in the beginning, but in time that became easier. And then I began to see his presence with me. And even though my prayers in the early were just so very, I'd lay across my bed and they would just be, help me, God. I could not pray much more than that.
I still do that many times. I have no words.
Right.
Holy
Spirit. And it makes the Holy Spirit, that makes so much sense about the Holy Spirit interceding.
Never really understood that till now. And now I do.
But there's great comfort in those things. And I think it is. I think your illustration about walking is so good because you find yourself take a couple steps and then more. And it's, as I went further along, I had some people that, because there is a time to yield to grief and to, as many people say, lean into it. And that's good. But there is a time that you have to say, today is not a day to lean into it. Today is a day. And I had a friend, my friend Deb would come over, say, you got to get out of bed today, and here's what we're going to do. And having someone with that kind of sensitivity and love for you that help you say, today's not a day to do that. And that's rare, I think. It was very helpful for me.
I was very fortunate that my children took turns. They moved in with me for about 2 months. And just like your friend would say, well, it's time to get up, you know. My kids would come in and say, well, Mom, what's on the schedule today? You know, that was their way of saying, we need to get up and about and get on with life. And that was very helpful to me. And then there came the time when I was saying to them, it's time for you to go home. You know, it's time for you to get back to normal with your families. And God and I are going to be able to walk through this thing. He's going to take me through it. Now, as soon as they went out the door, I started crying. But I believed in my heart that it was possible. And by God's grace, we're beginning to go through that, walk through it.
Both of you have 3 children, mm-hmm. young adults. You were not only a wife, but you are a mother. What has been your role as a mother in the lives of your children who have experienced the loss of their dad?
I will say, and I said this publicly just recently with my daughter present, I will say that I look back on that first year and my kids didn't really have a mom in many ways. And the fortunate thing about my kids, they were old enough to really help one another in some ways. But it's also very difficult for a family to grieve together because there's so much concern about pulling the other one down. And but after a year, you know, like it or not, now I begin to understand more completely. I'm the spiritual leader, and I have to continue to provide the leadership that Rick had provided in our home. And also, and God gave me a tremendous amount of grace and strength for that because another one of those unwanted roles. But navigating my children through that, Nancy, is very difficult. I had an adolescent and, well, 2 adolescents and a 23-year-old. So they didn't know how to grieve. I didn't know how to grieve. We had a great support system. My kids were involved with some godly school teachers who really stepped in and did some phenomenal things.
So there were some other people in their lives as well.
Right. I mean, you talk about a community of faith. That's when you see how you need everybody hitting on all cylinders to be a part of that when a family goes through that. And that's one of the great things about the church.
As it was intended to function.
As it was intended to function. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing.
And it doesn't really do any good to say the church doesn't function because that is us.
Right.
And that's where, you know, your church may not be hitting on all cylinders. Most aren't, and none are to the extent that we should be. You're one person, you know, and look around and see where there's a need within the people God has around your life and say, Lord, what can I do to be part of a community of faith in the lives of those people without necessarily waiting for the whole church to rise up and be what the ideal is?
You know, I think my kids were pastor's kids, and so there was this little bit delicate balance of some privacy versus, and Vicki had the same thing, you know, trying to find the right spot for that was somewhat difficult of all that. I wanted to do that with a little bit of privacy and dignity along the way. I think it reined in my children probably in a way that kind of slowed down their grief process just a little bit.
I don't know that we ever learned how to grieve. I think we're an extremely close family. We laugh together, we play together, we cry together, and we did a whole lot of crying together at the very beginning. And then as someone had to begin to take the leadership to get the ship rolling again, we did a role reversal. Whereas even though all of my children are adults, and I tell you only, I think of Kathy with her three children younger than mine. And I think of other wives with little children. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I just have to sit back and say, I don't know how they did it, but it had to be God, you know. Because I was so fortunate that all of my children were married, had families of their own. And when Mom was still in shock, still in numbness, my kids just kind of kicked in and took over. And made sure that the things got done that needed to be done, and they would come to me and we would talk about decisions that needed to be made. And I found myself going to them. I would pick up the telephone and call them and ask them to help me make the decision. We really did a role reversal, because in our normal family life, my husband and I had become their counselor mm-hmm. and their friend. And all of a sudden that flip-flopped, and my children were becoming my counselor for me.
But isn't that a neat thing in a way that you and Faye had been training them
Absolutely.
And investing in their lives all these years?
Absolutely.
And you were reaping
Yes.
the blessing
Yes.
in your point of real
Yes.
need
Yes.
of
Yes.
what you had invested in them.
Yes. And such a blessing it is. In that they all are Christians, they all love the Lord, they're by no means perfect, but they have a heart for God. And they are well enough versed in the Word that they could help me make critical decisions. And the appreciation I have for the children that God has given me has grown tremendously. The respect I have for them as young adults. But they, along with close friends, were a support system that I couldn't have done without. I had to move. I had to pack. In fact, I had three moves. I had to pack up his office. I had a small place in Little Rock that I had to sell and move from. And families from up in northwest Arkansas took their time to make that trip, that 3.5-hour trip down to move me from his office, from the place we lived in Little Rock, from our place in Rogers to a rental place where I am right now. And whenever we get this other house built, I mean, they're on call waiting to help. What a blessing mm. that is. Mm. And these are not people from one church. These are people from about 10 or more churches in the community that have just gathered around to say, we're there to help you.
You know, Vicki, I can't help but believe, again, that that is one of the blessings and rewards of years and years that you and Faye have served and given and blessed into the lives of others. Mm-hmm. And you are reaping the benefits of that.
I very much
now,
am.
Now, and I'm thinking about people on the front side of loss who have no clue what's coming. I mean, we don't know what's around the corner. And saying this is one of the reasons it's so important now to be plugged into the life of a local church, to have a community of faith, to have godly relationships. And I know people are starved for this today, and something we hear so often from people is, I just don't have those kinds of relationships. My church doesn't function that way. You know, you and Faye and Kathy, you and Rick have spent years and years investing in the lives of others. And obviously a lot of our listeners are not pastors or government officials or their wives, but God has put us all in some sphere of influence. Hearing your stories is a motivation to me, not knowing in my old age or point of extreme need tomorrow or next month or next year or 30 years from now what my needs will be You know, I think one of the things that can protect me from fear and anxiety about the future and how will I be cared for and how will my needs be met is to say, am I investing today in the lives of the people that God has put in my path?
My children and I have said, how do people go through something like this without the support of not only the Lord,
but the body of Christ.
But the body of Christ. Yeah. And all of the families that have ministered in so many ways. My husband was a very giving, serving person. I could just think of numerous ways that he had touched each one of their lives. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they are endeared mm-hmm. to my family mm-hmm. and to me. And we are very definitely reaping, I believe, from the godly works, the godly yeah. deeds that he did in the Spirit of the Lord, again, because he loved people.
Being the recipient of that kind of care in a crisis, I've seen this change in my heart and my kids' life. And obviously, we're very church people, and we appreciate that. But I find myself more drawn to people that don't have those support systems mm-hmm. and recognize now how that feels to be in that place. And I mean, I looked, and Vicki did too, at thousands of people at a funeral. And I stood just this past Monday in a little cemetery with a little Russian mother. There were 11 of us there. Lost her baby. She had no support system. Mm-hmm. I took a lady from church, and so there were two. We'd never met her before. Mm-hmm. And I am more drawn, Nancy, to slow down and look for those people that are in those same spots that don't have those hundreds of people there. Mm. And, you know, I walked away from that situation on Monday because I think sometimes we can be driven to so much pragmatism when we're in ministry, and it's right to wonder, how can I minister this girl in a deeper, further way? And I need to do that. But the bottom line is, for that moment at least, being there representing the face of God to someone at a graveside service of an infant where she has no support, that means a lot to me now. And yeah. it wouldn't have before. But go to an anonymous person and be able to look her in the eyes and just tell her, God sees your tears. And she's just 23. She's immigrated here. She has very little English. And I would have missed that moment before.
Mm. You would have missed that person.
I would have missed that person. And I'm very grateful for that. And I think receiving so much goodness, there's another step to that responsibility that we have to pour that out again. I hope I don't ever lose that desire to pour out what's been poured into me of just not just the love of God and the comfort of God and the hope of God, but all that people have done. There's a responsibility to that.
Kathy Ferguson has been talking with Nancy Lee DeMoss about the pain of losing a spouse and the comfort available through the body of Christ. We also heard from Vicki Bozeman on the pain of losing a husband. You may know someone who'd be encouraged by this conversation. We'll send you the entire interview on CD. We're calling this series Grace Through Loss. Just make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts, and we'll send you the CD, along with a helpful booklet called Promises to Live By. When you're in a valley, you need to remember God's Word and God's promises. This booklet will help with a topical listing of scriptures. It'll give you comfort and hope whenever you need it. Ask for Promises to Live By and Grace Through Loss when you donate any amount by phone. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or donate online at reviveourhearts.com. Each of us come to a place where we realize, I am not God, and there are some things I just won't understand. Our guests will describe the mystery of suffering tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.